Okay. Let's start our next section, please. Okay. Let's start our next section. As a church, as a fellowship of Christians, in the Christian world, we would be considered to be part of what's called the Stone Campbell movement. That's a fairly recent title. A number of years ago, it was generally called the Restoration Movement. But most scholars now call it the Stone Campbell Movement. So are we a restoration of Christianity? Or are we a reformation of Christianity? Let's talk about the history.
Parlons de l'histoire.
The time period.
La chronologie.
Very early 19th century.
Donc, il s'agit du début du 19e siècle.
The second Christian Great Awakening.
Le deuxième grand réveil que nous avons vu tout à l'heure.
The factors that influenced this movement.
Les facteurs qui ont influencé ce mouvement.
Philosophically,
philosophiquement,
Francis Bacon.
Alors, Francis Bacon.
John Locke, and the Scottish School of Common Sense Philosophy.
Et l'école écossaise de philosophie Common Sense.
Francis Bacon, an early philosopher of science,
qui est un philosophe scientifique,
who taught an inductive approach to learning.
Qui a enseigné une méthode d'apprentissage appelée la méthode inductive.
We assume nothing.
Nous ne supposons rien.
We study.
Nous étudions.
And we learn from that.
Et nous apprenons de cela.
From our study, what is true.
Nous apprenons de ce que nous avons étudié, la vérité.
Inductive approach.
C'est l'approche inductive.
Alexander Campbell was a big fan of Francis Bacon.
Alexander Campbell était un grand fan de Francis Bacon.
The period we're talking about in Europe is called the Enlightenment.
Et la période en Europe, cette période est appelée la période des Lumières.
The idea amongst atheists and amongst Christians,
et l'idée, c'est qu'entre les athées et les chrétiens,
both is to apply human reasoning.
L'idée à ce moment-là, c'était d'appliquer le raisonnement humain.
To analyze and understand.
Pour analyser et comprendre le monde.
Not so much emotion, but the mind.
Pas tant les émotions, mais le cerveau.
John Locke. Another philosopher.
Un autre philosophe.
His philosophy was the same as Benjamin Franklin. And George Washington. He believed life, liberty, and property. Yes.
Bien.
Individual rights. Individual dignity.
La dignité de l'individu.
He was a very strong believer in Christianity. Another influence is called the Common Sense Philosophy School in Scotland, which said, what's true that what's true is common sense. So we take a common sense approach to the Bible.
Donc, nous abordons la Bible avec le bon sens.
We don't worry what somebody told us before.
Nous faisons fi de ce qu'on nous a dit auparavant.
We don't maybe follow some creed.
Nous ne suivons aucun credo.
We just read the Bible.
Nous lisons simplement la Bible.
Analyze it almost like a science experiment.
Nous l'analysons comme une expérience scientifique.
And make common sense conclusions.
Et nous tirons des conclusions de bon sens.
This is the approach to the Bible.
C'était une approche de la Bible.
Of what became the Restoration Movement.
De ce qui est devenu le mouvement de restauration.
At this time,
à ce moment-là,
there were many other groups doing this.
Il y avait déjà certains groupes qui faisaient cela.
There were other restoration movements.
Il y avait d'autres mouvements de restauration.
All of them had in common,
ce qu'ils avaient en commun,
throw off the past creeds,
c'est rejeter tous les anciens credos,
just study the Bible,
étudier la Bible simplement,
put it into practice,
mettez la Bible en pratique,
and just be a Christian.
Et soyez chrétien.
It's not the only movement that had this idea.
Ce n'est pas le seul mouvement qui a eu cette idée-là.
But then, in America,
et puis, aux États-Unis,
a number of people started to form groups with this idea.
Un certain nombre de personnes ont commencé à faire des groupes avec cette idée.
One of them was James O'Kelly.
Une de ces personnes, c'est James O'Kelly.
Look at that guy.
Regardez ce gars.
A real frontier guy, you know.
Un vrai homme de frontière.
Yeah. And he was Methodist.
Il était méthodiste.
But he said, I'm not going to be a Methodist anymore.
Et il a dit un jour, je ne suis plus méthodiste.
We're not going to be Anglican or Baptist or Methodist.
Anglican, Baptiste ou méthodiste.
We're just Christian.
Nous sommes simplement chrétiens.
Just non-denominational.
Non-denominationnel.
Just Christian.
Chrétien.
And they believed they could unite all Christians under this banner.
Et ils croyaient qu'ils pouvaient unir tous les chrétiens sous cette bannière.
A very optimistic idea.
C'est une idée très optimiste.
And I love the idea.
Et j'aime cette idée.
I'm inspired by the idea.
Je suis inspiré par cette idée.
But with the perspective of history, I understand that that's more of an idea than a reality.
Mais avec le recul de l'histoire, je comprends que c'est plus une idée qu'autre chose.
Nevertheless, people said, leave all these creeds behind, let's just be Christians.
Mais quand même, ils ont dit, laissez tous les credos et soyons simplement chrétiens.
So, James O'Kelly is an example.
Donc, James O'Kelly est un exemple.
They formed a group.
Ils ont formé un groupe.
They called them the Christian Connection.
Et ils ont donné au groupe le nom de Connexion Chrétienne.
Several dozen churches in Virginia and Kentucky.
Plusieurs douzaines d'églises en Virginie et dans le Kentucky.
Another who joined that movement.
Un autre qui a rejoint ce groupe.
Is Rice Haggard.
C'est Rice Haggard.
He was more of a theologian.
Il était plus théologien.
And he said this.
Il a dit ceci. Une chose que je sais, c'est que chaque fois que des éléments non essentiels deviennent les conditions de communion, cela ne manquera jamais d'avoir tendance à désunir et à disperser l'Église du Christ.
And then the next thing also.
Et il a dit aussi en matière de foi, unité. En matière d'opinion, libéralité.
What a great idea for how to do Christianity. What a great concept. And at this time, both in England and the United States, many people started to be attracted to this idea. So no more creeds. Our only creed is the Bible.
Le seul credo, c'est la Bible.
How can we create unity?
Comment nous unir?
Let's abandon, not abandon, but let's find unity based on the essential teachings.
Donc, créons l'unité en nous fixant sur les enseignements essentiels.
We can disagree on unessential teachings.
Nous pouvons ne pas être d'accord sur certains enseignements qui sont non essentiels.
But on essential teachings,
mais sur les enseignements essentiels,
such as who Jesus is,
comme qui est Jésus,
what makes for Christian character,
c'est quoi le caractère chrétien,
and how we're saved,
et comment on est sauvé,
we agree on those things.
Nous sommes d'accord sur ces choses.
Other things we say, we don't have to worry about those things.
D'autres choses, nous pouvons dire que bon, on n'a pas besoin de se soucier.
But there is one problem here.
Mais ici, il y a un problème.
And the problem is,
et le problème, c'est que,
what is the list,
quelle est la liste,
of essential teachings?
Les enseignements essentiels.
That's why this philosophy has an inherent instability.
C'est pour cela que cette philosophie est instable de nature.
Even the discussion we had just a few minutes ago.
Même la discussion que nous avons eue avant la pause.
To that person that would disagree on that?
Would that person?
Yeah, that whoever, just some theoretical person.
Voilà. Est-ce que cette personne sera en désaccord avec ça?
I say amen. Because we all have the same doctrine.
Parce que nous avons tous la même doctrine.
We all agree.
Nous sommes d'accord.
Baptism is essential for salvation.
Le baptême est essentiel pour salut.
But the problem, history tells us,
mais le problème que l'histoire nous enseigne,
we all have slightly different lists.
C'est que nous avons tous des listes légèrement différentes
of what we consider to be essential.
De ce que nous considérons comme essentiel.
This is a beautiful idea.
C'est une belle idée.
This is a noble idea. This is the idea that created the movement that we're part of.
C'est l'idée qui a créé le mouvement dont nous faisons
partie. I'm proud of this idea.
Je suis fier de cette idée.
But I think maybe the early people in this movement didn't realize.
Mais je pense que les premières personnes qui ont pensé à ça ne se rendaient pas compte.
There's a possible instability here.
Il y a une instabilité possible.
But that's why we study church history, right? Now we don't call it the Rice-Haggard movement. We don't call it the James O'Kelly movement. No, we call it the Stone Campbell movement. So let's talk about Barton Stone. He was raised Presbyterian.
Il a été élevé en tant que Presbyterian.
From the earliest time, he was extremely devoted.
Et dès le début, il était très dévoué.
He went through an extreme crisis.
Il a traversé une très grande crise.
It was over Calvinism.
Concernant le Calvinisme.
Because he realized Calvinism is anti-Christian.
Parce qu'il s'est rendu compte que le Calvinisme est anti-chrétien.
Anyway, he moved to Kentucky.
Il a déménagé, il est arrivé à Kentucky.
And the church he led there,
et l'église qu'il a dirigée là-bas,
he said, We're just Christians. And he sponsored the Cane Ridge Revival. But at that time on the frontier, to preach, you had to be ordained.
Pour prêcher, tu devais être ordonné.
So he went to the Presbyterian church to be ordained.
Donc, il s'est rendu dans l'église presbytérienne pour être ordonné.
They asked him, do you swear to the Westminster Confession?
Et on lui a demandé, est-ce que tu adhères à la confession de Westminster?
He raised his right hand.
Il a levé sa main droite.
He said, yes, I do.
Il a dit, oui.
As long as it agrees with the Bible.
Il a dit, oui, tant que ça conforme à la Bible.
In other words,
en d'autres termes,
no, I don't.
Non, je n'adhère pas.
They ordained him anyway.
Mais ils l'ont quand même ordonné.
A few years later,
quelques années plus tard,
he and a number of other Presbyterian ministers they got together. And they said, we're not Presbyterian. Let's not fool ourselves. We're just Christians. So they had a Presbyterian organization. Sort of, yeah, I guess. And they wrote a letter. You know, when you say the last will and testament, you know, how do you say that? Yeah. The last will and testament. Yeah, right here. Oh, go back. Right there, yeah. And they said, the group that we're part of, we dissolve it. We're no longer a denomination. We're just a Christian. Said, all human creeds, no. The Bible only. Christian only. Local church government only. No governing organization. Freedom of conscience. And so Stone began a movement. A Bible only, non-denominational movement of Christians. Eventually, he rediscovered baptism. And they started baptizing. Now, I'll come back to Barton Stone. But one thing to know about Barton Stone, he was a very emotional Christian. Remember about that Cane Ridge Revival? There are people rolling around and barking at trees, and he had a little bit of a charismatic aspect to him. More of an experiential Christian. So different from Campbell. All right, next. Two slides. Thomas Campbell. Yeah.
Thomas Campbell.
This is not Alexander Campbell. This is Thomas Campbell.
C'est pas Alexander Campbell, c'est Thomas Campbell.
Also Presbyterian.
Presbyterian aussi.
In Ireland.
En Irlande.
part of a Presbyterian group that was separating from the Presbyterians and say, we're just going to follow the Bible. He left. He came to America. After coming here, like Barton Stone, he had a crisis of faith, and he rejected Calvinism, and he said, wow, I'm just a disciple. And so he looked for a church that he could fellowship with. We're just going to follow the Bible. Our only creed is the Bible. And he published a very famous document called the Declaration and Address. A series of statements about how to have Christian unity. Now his son is no longer in Ireland. He's actually in Scotland. And 3 years later, he joins his father. Also brings his mother. And on the way during the journey, he had a crisis of faith. He says, Presbyterianism and Calvinism, that's not biblical. We just need to follow the Bible only. And we're just going to be disciples. And he met his father in Western New York. Western New York, you know, New York the state. Doesn't matter there. He was nervous. Amazing! They both had the same conversion. So they began to preach the idea of restoring New Testament Christianity. They applied sort of Bacon, Locke, common sense reading to the Bible. Logical, inductive, common sense, Bible only. So anyway, he had a son, and he was going to baptize his son. So he decided, maybe I should study what the Bible says about baptism. So he said, I think I better study what the Bible says about baptism. And he made the same discovery that other groups had before, like the Anabaptists, and you know, the Baptists and others. So he said, I can't baptize my baby son. He said, everybody here in this church, we need to get baptized. So who's going to baptize us? They found a preacher at a local Baptist church. He baptized one of them. And then they baptized the rest. So they began to teach that baptism is when you're saved. And for a period of several years, they were part of a Baptist association, which is interesting, because they weren't Calvinist. And they taught that baptism is when you're saved. But both Campbells were very interested in creating unity.
Les deux, Campbell, père et fils, étaient vraiment intéressés à créer l'unité.
And they found more in common with the Baptists than anybody else.
Ils avaient plus en commun avec les Baptistes que toutes autres personnes.
But eventually they understood this could never work.
Ils ont compris par la suite que ça ne pouvait pas marcher.
So he started his own independent movement.
Donc, il a commencé son propre mouvement.
He had a famous debate with, let me see, let's, oh, we're, yeah, okay, let's go back. What about Alexander Campbell? There we go, yeah, okay. Yeah, a famous debate about baptism with a Baptist guy destroyed that guy's argument. And he started preaching about many doctrines of Christianity. He published his own translation of the Bible. He founded a college. He was a very well-known intellectual. He spoke before the U.S. Senate. And they called themselves disciples. Now, Alexander Campbell was a very powerful scholar.
Alexander Campbell était un grand universitaire.
Theologian. Teacher.
Enseignant.
But he was no evangelist. So his movement remained fairly small. Next slide. Next slide.
Okay.
And then, yeah, Walter Scott joined him.
Walter Scott l'a rejoint.
He was a great evangelist. And he, you know, then with his influence, thousands joined. Dozens, even hundreds of churches. And Alexander Campbell was not, he was more like the teacher.
Alexander Campbell était un peu plus comme l'enseignant.
But Walter Scott,
he
made preaching very simple.
A rendu la prédication très simple.
5-step plan.
Un plan en 7 points.
Faith.
Repentance,
baptism, remission of sins, Holy Spirit. Got all that down? All right, let's get baptized. The movement grew very quickly. Now, the Church of Christ still uses a 5-point outline.
L'Église de Christ utilise toujours ce plan en 5 points.
It's not exactly the same.
Il n'est pas exactement la même chose.
He said faith,
il dit la foi,
repentance,
baptism,
forgiveness of sins,
remission des péchés,
Holy Spirit.
Saint-Esprit.
What verse is that?
C'est quel verset?
Acts 2:38. Very simple.
Très simple.
That's not what the churches of Christ say anymore. It's different.
Alors, ce n'est plus ce que disent les églises du Christ.
They say.
Les églises du Christ disent.
They say. Hear.
Ici.
Believe.
Non, pardon. Écoutez. Croire.
Repent.
Se repentir.
Confess.
Confesser.
Be baptized.
Se faire baptiser.
That's the formula that we use.
Ça, c'est la formule que nous utilisons.
Hear. Believe,
croire,
confess,
confesser,
repent,
se repentir,
be baptized. It's interesting the difference.
La différence est intéressante.
Scott, 3 things we do,
y a 3 choses que nous faisons,
and 2 things that God does.
Et 2 choses que Dieu fait.
Church of Christ,
alors, l'Église du Christ,
5 things that we do.
5 choses que nous faisons, que l'on fait.
I see a little philosophical difference here. that maybe speaks for itself.
Jesus.
The most amazing event in the history of this movement, probably,
la chose la plus étonnante de ce mouvement, probablement,
was that the Stone movement,
c'est que le mouvement de Stone,
and the Campbell movement,
le mouvement de Campbell,
they dissolved into one movement.
Se sont rejoints pour faire un seul mouvement.
This is a unique event in the history of Christianity.
C'est un événement, unique dans l'histoire du Christianisme.
Individual churches have joined. That's happened many times.
Oui, des églises se rejoignent, ça arrive.
But separate growing movements joining, I don't know of any other example.
Mais deux groupes qui grandissent se rejoignent.
They first met in 1824.
Ils se sont d'abord rencontrés en 1824.
And then in 1831, they agreed, we all agree there's just one church. We all agree it's just the church following the Bible. We all agree we are united on essentials. And liberal on unessentials. Generally, Campbell's movement was in Pennsylvania, New York, Ohio. Generally, Stone's movement was in Virginia, Tennessee, Kentucky. But in Kentucky, they started to mix a little bit. So the two agreed, we will join. And there are famous stories. There are famous stories. Martin Stone comes to a town. There is still a Stone church and a Campbell church. Says, I refuse. I would not to go to either group.
Je n'irai dans aucune des deux églises.
Until you dissolve and become one church.
Jusqu'à ce que tu dissolves.
This.
Les deux églises pour qu'elles deviennent une seule.
This is a very encouraging story.
Ça, c'est une histoire très encourageante.
Now, this is harder than you think.
C'est plus difficile que vous le pensez.
Because they had some significant differences.
Parce que ces deux personnes avaient.
Stone's group said,
le groupe de Stone dit,
we're Christians.
Nous sommes chrétiens.
Campbell's group said,
le groupe de Campbell dit,
we're disciples.
Nous sommes des disciples.
So, what are we going to call ourselves?
Alors, on va s'appeler quoi? Chrétien ou disciple?
We all can agree that that's not an important difference.
Nous savons aujourd'hui que cette différence n'est pas importante.
But if you tell us to change what we call ourselves, you know, if you say, no, you have to change what you call yourself.
Parce que quand on nous dit de changer la manière dont on s'appelle nous-mêmes,
for humans, that's hard.
Alors, pour un humain, c'est difficile.
Also, their movements had a very different tone.
Aussi, chacun des mouvements a un ton différent.
Campbell. Very analytical. Very logical. Very scholarly. Stone's group. Holy Spirit. Emotional. And experience. That's hard to join together. Even their teaching on baptism was not identical.
Même leur enseignement sur le baptême n'était pas identique.
Alexander Campbell said, if you're not baptized, you're not saved.
Alexander Campbell dit, si tu n'es pas baptisé, tu ne peux pas être sauvé.
Barton Stone said,
mais Barton Stone dit,
I mean, yeah,
oui,
but we won't hold people accountable to that.
Mais on ne va pas empêcher les gens, on va pas fermer la porte.
And also,
aussi,
Campbell said,
Campbell dit,
the idea of ordaining ministers,
ordonner
That's not biblical. Actually, that's debatable.
And
Stone said all of our ministers have to be ordained. How do they work that out? But they did. And that was a great victory. And by 1840, there were 200,000.
By 1860,
400,000. The fastest growing religious group in America. That's pretty awesome. Over time, though, is this a Campbell movement? Or is this a Stone movement? Over time, Alexander Campbell's personality was a stronger personality. In fact, many people called them Campbellites. So this is the hermeneutics of this movement. Yeah, please. Yeah.
Okay.
Commandement.
Commandement. Exemple et démonstration nécessaire.
So they say, and by the way, Church of Christ, they say this again and again and again. So how do we know what's true? If the Bible says it, then obviously it's true.
Si la Bible dit, évidemment c'est vrai.
Or if we have an example in the Bible, then it's true. Or if there's a logical inference, then that's true.
Ou encore, on peut déduire de façon logique.
That's
alors,
it.
Là aussi, ça, c'est la vérité.
And Campbell proposed, that's it. That's all we need.
Et Campbell a proposé cette démarche, d'interprétation.
But this is a little bit problematic.
Mais y a un problème.
For example,
par exemple,
where is the role of biblical principles here?
Quel est le rôle des principes bibliques?
The churches of Christ tend to be weak on principles.
Les églises du Christ tendent à être faibles en ce qui concerne les principes.
Strong on doctrine.
Ils sont très forts dans la doctrine.
But weak on principles.
Mais faibles sur les principes.
Another common statement in the Church of Christ.
Une autre affirmation commune dans les églises du Christ.
When the Bible speaks, we speak.
C'est que quand la Bible dit quelque chose, nous disons la même chose.
When the Bible is silent, we're silent.
Mais les sujets sur lesquels la Bible ne se prononce pas.
So what the Bible says we're authorized to do.
Nous aussi ne nous prononçons pas. Donc,
we do.
Si la Bible nous autorise à faire quelque chose.
But if the Bible does not. But if the Bible does not authorize to do that,
mais si la Bible explicitement ne nous autorise pas à le faire,
we don't do that.
Nous ne le faisons pas.
By the way, Kit McKean did not agree with that.
Kit McKean n'était pas d'accord.
I'll talk about that. Okay. Now, here is the problem that this movement had.
Voici le problème que ce mouvement a eu.
A great idea.
Une grande idée.
But there were two essential ideas, both of Stone and Campbell. We're going to go back to the Bible.
Nous allons retourner à la Bible.
We're going to be a Bible-only movement.
Nous serons un mouvement de Bible uniquement.
And we're a unity movement.
Et nous sommes un mouvement d'unité.
Trying to pull together all the believers.
Essayons de rassembler tous les croyants.
But this is an unstable combination.
Mais c'est une combinaison instable.
Because if you say the Bible and the Bible only,
parce que quand tu dis la Bible uniquement,
and you also say unity, unity, unity,
et tu dis unité, unité, unité,
they seem to work in the opposite direction.
Parce que les deux, Bible seulement et unité, marchent dans les sens opposés.
So ultimately, this group split in half.
Donc, ce qui disait, il s'en est suivi que
becoming
que le groupe s'est divisé.
The Church of Christ
pour devenir Église du Christ
and the Christian Church.
Et l'Église chrétienne.
So which are we?
Alors, nous, qui sommes-nous?
The Bible only?
Sommes-nous la Bible uniquement?
Or unity, the most important thing?
Ou bien, c'est l'unité qui est importante.
We're the Bible only.
Nous sommes la Bible uniquement.
We're the doctrine-oriented church.
Nous sommes l'Église orientée sur la doctrine.
That's the Church of Christ.
C'est l'Église du Christ.
If you go to a Christian church,
alors, si tu vas dans une église chrétienne,
and I've attended a number of Christian churches,
et je suis allé dans nombre d'églises chrétiennes.
I have a number of very good friends from the Christian church.
Et j'ai des amis dans ces églises-là.
One of my mentors and heroes is in the Christian church.
Et un de mes mentors et héros est dans l'église chrétienne.
You often see unity is our polar star.
Souvent ils écrivent l'unité est notre étoile polaire.
You would never see that at a Church of Christ, I'm telling you.
Jamais cela dans une église du Christ.
And yet their basic doctrine is indistinguishable.
Leur doctrine, on peut pas savoir ce que c'est.
But the Church of Christ.
Mais l'église du Christ.
Where are we here? Oh yeah, okay. Yeah, that's good. I just want to go. Let me see. Let's go back to hermeneutics of the movement.
Okay,
one more back. No, back, not forward. Back. Okay, there you go. So, where the Bible speaks, we speak.
Là où la Bible parle, nous parlons.
Where the Bible is silent, we're
là où,
silent.
Là où la Bible se tait, nous nous taisons.
So, in this division.
Dans cette division.
Which began in the 1870s and 80s,
qui a commencé dans les années 1870,
and was complete by the early 1900s,
et 1880, et il s'est achevé dans les années 1900.
The Church of Christ is highly doctrine-oriented.
L'Église du Christ est très tournée sur la doctrine.
And they say, we do exactly what the Bible says.
Et qui dit, nous faisons exactement ce que dit la Bible.
One example.
Un exemple.
Does the Bible authorize us to use musical instruments?
Est-ce que la Bible nous autorise à utiliser les instruments de musique dans le culte?
Is there any verse in the Bible that says play instruments? No, in the New
Testament.
In the New Testament, thank you.
Dans le Nouveau Testament.
In the New Testament. This brother's saying, yeah, he's like, what about Psalms, right? Yeah, no.
Dans les Psaumes, non.
In the New Testament.
Y a-t-il dans le Nouveau Testament
No, there is none. No.
Voilà.
It says. Sing and make music in your.
Voilà.
In your heart, right?
Chanter et faire la musique dans vos cœurs.
Zwingli said.
Zwingli dit.
No musical instruments.
Pas d'instruments de musique dans le culte.
For the same reason.
Pour la même raison.
The early church.
Dans
for hundreds of years. No musical instruments. Have you ever heard of a cappella singing?
Vous avez entendu de chanter a cappella.
That means
avec la voix seulement.
That means singing like the church sings.
De chanter comme l'église chante.
No instruments.
Sans instruments.
So the Church of Christ says
dans l'église du Christ dit,
no instruments.
Pas d'instruments.
And if you use instruments,
et si tu utilises un instrument,
you're going to hell.
Tu vas en enfer.
I'm not kidding.
Voilà, je joue pas.
That's our background.
Voilà, de là nous venons, de là nous venons.
When I became a Christian,
quand je suis devenu chrétien,
oh, there were no instruments in that church.
Il n'y avait pas d'instruments dans l'église où
j'étais. Oh, no. That'd be the worst sin. And for many years in our movement, no instruments. You didn't know that? So now you know.
Okay.
But there are a number of other examples. For example, in the conservative wing, in the conservative Church of Christ wing, every church is completely autonomous. No organizations of cooperation. That's just what they taught. All right, so as we move forward, how did this group stay united? Because every church was completely autonomous. And their only creed was the Bible. When the group split, it was around, I think, 1.2 million Christian church. And about 200,000 Church of Christ. About 200,000. 60 years later, 2 million Christian church, 2 million Church of Christ. We grew faster than they did. Because that was kind of the spirit of the time. You know, doctrine. Very modernist approach. With postmodernism, that won't work. Okay, moving forward. I'll skip that stuff. I'm going to skip this also. Oh, they divided on almost anything. Oh my goodness. The Church of Christ would divide on the smallest possible issue. After supper, Jesus took the cup, right? Right? How many cups? One cup. So they said, only one cup. Never mind, we know from Judaism that they had many cups. It didn't matter. Imagine with COVID. One cup. And churches would divide over this stuff. So let me remind you. If you're going to be a let's just follow the Bible movement, which we still are, unity is going to be problematic. That's just the reality. Okay, eventually, the Christian church divided one more time into a more conservative wing. In my opinion, the way we do church today, although we're descended from the Church of Christ, the way we do church today, we're probably more like the Christian church, honestly. But that's how history works, right? All right. So, lessons from the Stone Campbell movement. Unity is very difficult to maintain if you don't have a creed or a strong hierarchy. Just learn that lesson. Lesson number two. How to decide what is essential and what is not essential. That's hard. Point number three. If we do not have a strong hierarchy, and a creed,
un credo,
we're going to have to find ways to stay unified.
Et nous pouvons trouver des moyens de rester unis.
I think we're doing that now.
Je pense que nous sommes en train de faire cela.
All right, that's good enough for now. Okay, now let's talk about ICOC. All right, next slide. Some of you know most of this history. But I'm guessing all of you don't know at least some of it. So, as you now know,
comme vous le savez,
we emerged from a movement of churches with a very strong commitment to Bible teaching,
qui est très engagé à l'enseignement de la Bible,
Bible preaching,
la prédication de la Bible,
and biblical doctrine.
Et la doctrine biblique.
Holy Spirit discussed. Holy Spirit.
Le Saint-Esprit.
Almost not even mentioned.
Presque pas
mentionné. Doctrine. Bible. Jesus said,
Jésus dit,
watch your life and your doctrine.
Prends garde à ta vie et à ta doctrine.
Which is the Church of Christ naturally good at?
L'Église du Christ est très fort dans ça.
Doctrine. Life, not so much. So the standard of what we would call discipleship fairly weak. Everybody at church has the right doctrine. But not everybody at church is really all that committed to the Christian mission, let's say. And the Church of Christ began to slow in its growth. And even now, mostly older people. But at this time, most Church of Christ children went to Church of Christ colleges and universities. One strength of the Church of Christ was a strong commitment to education. But as we go into the 1950s and 60s,
en progressant vers les années 1950-1960,
some of the children in the church would go to the University of Texas.
Certains des enfants, des membres, vont à l'Université de Texas.
Or the University of Florida.
Ou l'Université de Florida, de Floride.
So they started a campus movement.
Donc, ils ont commencé un mouvement du campus.
In the early 60s.
Au début des années 60.
And they would establish what they called a campus chair. So a local church would hire a campus minister whose job was to teach classes to the students. Not to evangelize the lost. That was rare, but just to keep the Church of Christ kids faithful. But then Chuck Lucas went to the what we now call the Crossroads Church of Christ.
Ensuite, on voit que Chuck Lucas va dans ce qu'on appelle le mouvement Crossroads.
And he saw many evangelical churches were baptizing and converting a lot of students. And he said, why shouldn't we do what they do? They have Bible study groups on campus. Let's have Bible study groups. On campus. And let's have, they call prayer partners. And soul talks. And let's expect the students to evangelize. They didn't call it discipling. We called it prayer partner. We didn't call it Bible talk, we called it soul talk. So Chuck began what became known as the campus movement. And by the middle of the 1970s, there were hundreds of students at this church in Gainesville, Florida. A lot of people got pretty excited about that. And so Chuck began to train campus ministers. And he sent dozens of trained campus ministers. They would go to existing churches of Christ and start a campus ministry, not like what had happened before. And now, instead of one baptism a year, they'd have 50 baptisms or 100 baptisms. And so people like Tom Brown,
Andy Lindo.
And some guy named Kit McKean, and also Randy McKean and many others. Now, Tom Brown went to the University of Colorado. I was baptized there in 1978. When I was baptized, I never heard of Chuck Lucas. I had no idea that there was this movement. I just repented and got baptized, you know? But at the time, there were probably 100 students in our campus ministry. Soon there were maybe 150 students. But here's what happened. In the church there in Boulder, and all of these other churches, it's like you had two different groups in the same church. The members who'd been there forever, they're like, this is awesome. But you want me to have a prayer partner? No, thank you. You want me to go out and evangelize on campus? No, we'll make dinner. And we'll have you over. And in Boulder, generally the members were very, very supportive. But at some point, the younger ones, the fired up ones, they get a little bit impatient. And the elders, and these churches all had elders, all of them, they would say, I don't know about that, you know. Almost every one of these churches split.
disons que la plus presque, voilà, c'est le mot que j'ai, presque chacune de ces églises s'est divisée en deux.
Almost all of them.
Presque. Tous. Ont été divisés.
And so, clearly, there's a problem here.
Clairement, il y a un problème ici.
And besides, those in the mainline church began to teach against what Chuck Lucas was doing. They accused him of having like a controlling, discipling situation.
Il accusait d'avoir une méthode de contrôle de ses membres.
And so we began to be persecuted quite significantly. Not by all the Church of Christ, but by some. Now, Kit McKean, he was fired from a church in
Illinois.
I don't know the circumstances. Probably because he was too fired up. I don't know. And then he was hired by a church in Philadelphia.
Il a été embauché par une église en Philadelphie.
He was fired there as well.
Il a été renvoyé là-bas aussi.
I don't know the circumstances.
Je ne sais pas pour quelle raison.
I'm not saying anything bad about Kip there.
Je suis pas même dit du mal, hein, de lui.
But he ended up in Boston.
Mais il s'est retrouvé à Boston.
And almost all of these churches
dans presque toutes ces églises
were large.
Toutes ces églises étaient des grandes églises.
Otherwise, how could they even hire a campus minister?
Sinon, comment est-ce qu'ils auraient même les moyens d'embaucher un dirigeant de campus?
But by some accident of history,
mais par un accident de l'histoire,
one of the most radical of the campus ministers,
un des plus radicaux des dirigeants du campus,
Kip, he ended up in Boston.
Kip McKean s'est retrouvé à Boston.
A church with only like 50 members.
L'église avait à peine 50 ans.
And two elders.
Et deux anciens.
I wasn't involved in the conversations, but apparently he convinced the elders, who are very famous in our movement, to say, you know, what we're doing here in our campus movement, let's just say that's who we are. And if you're not interested in having a prayer partner or discipling, if you don't want to have a life kind of aligned with the gospel, if you're not interested in, you know, doing the mission of Jesus Christ, that's okay. But maybe you should go to another Church of Christ. Because that's what we're going to do. To me, that seems a perfectly reasonable proposal. Because the other churches, they would create division. Now, once they did that, the church in Boston began to grow faster than all the others. Instead of 100 baptisms in a year, they would have 300 baptisms in a year. And even 500 baptisms in a year. And Kip said this. You know what? We've been evangelizing. It's so awesome. Here in America. On the campuses. But what about the rest of the world? So to this movement, which Chuck Lucas was still the main leader of, he started calling us to do world evangelism. By about, I think, maybe 1982 or 83, in our movement, we're not so much looking at Chuck Lucas now.
On ne regarde plus Chuck Lucas.
No, everybody is now looking at Boston.
Tout le monde regarde vers Boston.
And people started moving there.
Et certaines personnes quittaient leur état et déménageaient pour venir à Boston.
For training.
Pour être formé.
And they started the Boston World Missions Conference.
Et
A very exciting time.
Kip
started using language like sold out church.
Kip a commencé à utiliser des mots comme une église vendue à Dieu.
And he started calling people in the churches of Christ.
Et il a commencé à appeler les membres de l'église du Christ
to join God's modern day movement.
À rejoindre le mouvement moderne de Dieu.
That's pretty prideful.
Okay.
You know, I was in Monrovia a few days ago.
Il y a quelques jours, j'étais à Monrovia.
And the brother said, what do you think about the movement?
Et un frère m'a demandé, que penses-tu du mouvement?
The movement?
Le mouvement?
What movement?
Quel mouvement?
Yeah, the movement.
Le mouvement.
The movement?
Le mouvement.
By the way, I knew exactly what he meant.
Non, je savais de quoi il parle.
I said, oh, so you think we're the only saved people in the whole world? We're God's modern day movement? I said, that sounds really prideful. So then, around 1986, I think it was. By now we planted churches in many countries. Basically, what Kip said was, you're either aligned with Boston or you're not. So if you are, then send your leaders to Boston. And we'll send leaders to lead your church. And if you don't want to join God's sold out movement, alright, well that's up to you. So they began these things called reconstructions. That's a little bit hard to explain unless you experience one of them. So anyway, the church continued to grow very rapidly. Very exciting. And Kip published, I think it called the Evangelization Proclamation. I think by the year 2000, I think it was. All right, whatever it was. Okay. Anyway, I was part of all that. But the structure was like a pyramid structure. Kip McKean and the brothers under him and the brothers under them and I guess Elena McKean and the sisters under her. It was a very top-down structure. And I don't think it's a sin to have a top-down structure. And Kip had a plan to have the church grow very, very rapidly. Because we're going to win the world in one generation, he said. So let's keep it really simple. We have the first principles. We have the second principles. Everybody memorizes that. That's all we need. Now, he didn't say that.
And
that's an exaggeration. But teaching was not being honored in this situation. And Kip seemed to favor an evangelist-only organization. But eventually people started to realize this is not allowing people to mature.
Et par la suite, certains ont commencé à se rendre compte que cela ne permettait pas à d'autres personnes de devenir matures ou mûres.
The members of the church, it seems like they can't really express their disagreement.
Les membres de l'église ne pouvaient pas exprimer.
And it seemed like Kip said everybody should be discipled.
Kip a dit que tous doivent être disciples.
And it began to seem like everybody except Kip.
Que tous sauf Kip.
And
Kip disait que tout le monde devait être formé. Mais il semblait que tout le monde sauf Kip lui-même.
So it seemed a bit of a one-way relationship. So finally Kip was asked to no longer be the world evangelist.
On a demandé à Kip de ne plus être l'évangéliste. Non, du monde. Mondial.
Yeah. And so the structure that he had built up sort of collapsed.
Dans la structure qu'il a bâtie, s'est écroulée.
And then probably you remember, you heard about a letter that was written.
Vous vous rappelez peut-être d'une lettre qui a été écrite?
Yeah. Yeah. So that letter kind of revealed things that I think most people knew.
Et la lettre a mis à lumière des choses que beaucoup de personnes savaient déjà.
There were no surprises in that letter to me.
Pour moi, il n'y avait aucune surprise dans cette lettre.
So it's not so much the content of the letter.
Donc, c'est pas tant le contenu de la lettre.
That was not very surprising.
Parce qu'il n'y avait pas de surprise.
But it was like, I don't know, like we say the straw that broke the camel's back or something like that.
On parle de la paille qui... Voilà.
Or like you have a bottle of champagne.
Voilà. Là, oui, oui. Bon, ça dit que j'essaie de traduire l'expression de champagne. Mais c'est la goutte d'eau qui a fait déborder le vase.
Or, let's say you have a bottle of champagne.
Voilà, une bouteille de champagne.
You shake it up.
Qu'on secoue.
And you let the cork go.
Et puis, on ouvre.
Voilà, c'est, voilà. So a lot of people who had felt resentments, they started just all talking at once.
Donc, ceux qui avaient des ressentiments, beaucoup.
And suddenly, the leaders that were so honored were now dishonored.
Et les dirigeants qui étaient tellement honorés jusqu'à ce point ont été voilà, déshonorés.
And most of the missionaries that were from the US went home.
Et beaucoup de missionnaires que les États-Unis avaient envoyés dans les églises à l'étranger.
And our church,
obligés de retourner aux États-Unis.
Our churches went through some trying times.
Et notre église a vécu des moments difficiles.
Because when people do things because they're told to do it,
parce que quand les gens font les choses parce qu'on leur dit de le faire,
when people are controlled too much,
quand les gens sont contrôlés,
and you remove those controls,
quand les gens sont, alors, je sais pas comment dire ça, le contrôle, voilà, contrôlé.
Then people tend to go wild. So now, you don't have to evangelize. If you love Jesus, you would. For a long time, though, for a long time we evangelized because somebody told us to. So when nobody told us to anymore, many of us stopped doing it. And when discipling wasn't completely 100% obligatory,
et quand la formation n'est plus à 100% obligatoire.
Some people stopped getting discipling completely.
Certains ont arrêté complètement de se faire former.
And now that you can actually honestly say what you think about your leader,
et maintenant où tu peux vraiment dire honnêtement ce que tu penses de ton dirigeant.
Somebody said, take off their heads.
Quelqu'un a dit, coupez leur tête.
I'm exaggerating.
J'exagère.
So it was a period of time to recover from that.
C'était une période difficile.
Because we had to establish a new kind of structure.
Parce que nous devions mettre en place une nouvelle structure.
based primarily on relationships.
Basé maintenant principalement sur les relations.
And especially a problem in our foreign churches.
Et surtout,
our foreign churches.
Okay, nos églises à l'étranger.
For example, in Africa,
par exemple, en Afrique,
all those white Americans,
tous ces Américains blancs,
they come here and tell you what to do.
Et venez ici, et puis vous disiez ce qu'il fallait faire.
And then they go home.
Et puis allez retourner.
So, now what should we do?
Maintenant qu'ils sont retournés, et maintenant qu'ils sont plus là, qu'est-ce qu'on fait?
I think you've mostly figured it out now, okay? So that's the story about our history. Now there's two options now. I start taking questions about what I just said. Or I explain to you the history of the Pentecostal movement. I don't think we have time for both. Maybe questions would be more important. All right, let's do questions. By the way, I experienced all this. That whole history, I lived through it all.
J'étais là, j'ai vécu.
You know, people say, I've seen it all.
Ouais, quand on dit, j'ai tout vu.
Yeah, I've pretty much seen it all.
J'ai vu tout ce que je dis.
You know, people were told that our movement began in Boston, right? Right?
Yeah.
In the Gemple's living room.
On nous a dit que notre mouvement a commencé.
I can remember coming to Africa.
À Boston, en 1979, dans le salon de Gemple.
And they said, when were you baptized? They asked me, when was I baptized?
Donc, je suis venu en Afrique, on m'a demandé en quelle année j'étais baptisé.
I would say, 1978.
J'ai dit 1978.
How could you be a Christian?
Comment on peut être chrétien?
You were baptized?
Avant le mouvement.
Before the Gemple's living room?
Avant ce qui s'est passé dans le salon de Gemple en 1979.
Kip did not start this movement.
Et donc ce mouvement n'est pas de Kip.
Chuck Lucas did.
Donc en réalité, c'est pas Keith Martin qui a commencé ICOC. C'est Chuck Lucas.
Or maybe Alexander Campbell. Or
encore Alexander Campbell dans les années 1900.
Now, Kip made some very important adjustments.
Kip a fait des ajustements très importants.
If he hadn't called for world evangelism,
s'il n'avait pas fait l'appel de l'évangélisation du monde,
I wouldn't be here.
Je ne serais pas ici.
And you wouldn't be here.
Et vous ne serez pas baptisé.
So that's pretty important. No questions. Wow. Okay. We have two questions.
Where is Kip McKean today?
I don't know.
Je ne sais pas.
I don't keep track of Kip McKean.
Je ne suis pas.
I'm just joking. You mean not where is he right now, but where does he live? Yeah.
No, like what is he doing?
So let me tell you what happened to Kip after. See, I didn't tell you the whole story.
Alors, j'ai pas fini l'histoire.
So he was asked to resign as the world evangelist.
On lui a demandé de démissionner.
And he was told he's just on staff in L.A.
Comme évangéliste mondial, il était simplement au staff dans l'église de Los Angeles.
Now, Kip has the, let's say, the personality.
Mais la personnalité de Kip.
If he's not the leader,
et que s'il n'est pas le dirigeant,
then he will not be with you.
Donc, il n'est pas.
That's, I don't know, I can't explain it.
Je peux pas expliquer cela.
I have some psychological words for that.
Oui, on peut qualifier ça de façon psychologique.
But I'll let you use whatever word you wanted to describe that.
Je vous laisse utiliser le mot pour décrire ce genre de personnage.
So he left Los Angeles.
Donc, il a quitté Los Angeles.
Looking for a church.
Cherchant une église.
That would let him be the leader.
Qui le prendrait comme dirigeant.
He came very close to coming to Manila.
Il était sur le point d'être le dirigeant de l'église de Manille, aux Philippines.
But he made it clear, I'm going to be over that church.
Il leur a dit que Dieu serait le dirigeant.
And they said no.
Et l'église a dit non.
So he finally found a church in Portland, Oregon.
Portland, Oregon.
They said, sure, come here.
Oregon a dit, Portland a dit, viens.
And you'll be over our church.
Et tu seras le dirigeant de notre église.
Now at this point, he was kind of still part of our movement.
Et jusqu'à ce point, il était encore gracieux.
But everywhere Kip would go,
mais partout il est, il allait.
For example, let's say he's going to speak at a conference.
Par exemple, s'il allait à une conférence,
he would say, if I'm not the main speaker,
et il dirait que si je ne suis pas l'orateur principal,
I'm not going to come.
Je ne viens pas.
In fact, if you don't join my church here,
en fait, si tu ne fais pas partie de mon église,
you're probably not even disciples.
Peut-être que tu n'es même pas ici.
And he had many close relationships.
Et il avait tellement de relations proches.
The brothers would say, Kip, you can't speak that way.
Et les frères autour de lui disaient, tu ne peux pas dire ça.
And if you won't stop behaving that way,
mais si tu n'arrêtes pas de te comporter ainsi,
we can't even welcome you at our church.
On ne peut même pas t'inviter chez nous.
So he started preaching against all the other churches.
Donc il a commencé à prêcher contre toutes les autres églises.
Saying you're all a bunch of dead churches.
Disant que vous êtes tous des églises mortes.
If you don't come follow me, then you're probably not part of God's movement.
Que si vous ne venez pas me suivre, vous ne faites plus partie du mouvement de Dieu.
So with great pain and regret,
donc avec regret,
our fellowship of churches said, no.
Notre groupe d'église a dit,
Kip is being divisive.
Kip crée la division.
And we basically disfellowshipped him.
Donc, nous l'avons excommunié.
That was probably, I don't know, 2008 or so, I don't remember. So he said, all right, I'm going to have my own movement.
Donc, il dit, je vais avoir mon propre mouvement.
Because like I said, Kip doesn't know how to be under somebody. I guess he thinks he's God's man to save the world. So he's formed the International Christian Church.
Donc, il crée un autre mouvement qui s'appelle l'Église.
So I say, amen, it's great, go for it, Kip. There's plenty of lost people, but that's not his approach. Everywhere he'd go, his members would hunt down our members and say, your church is dead. Your leaders aren't even disciples. Do you want to be a sold out disciple? So completely divisive. And he trained all of his members to be divisive. Have you ever heard a sermon denouncing Kip's church? Of course not. If you're in Kip's church, you'd hear sermons denouncing us all the time. That's their DNA. I mean, and so I think all of us would welcome people in that movement.
Voilà. Accueillerait ceux qui sont dans son église.
They have the same doctrine.
Ils ont la même doctrine.
But every time you try,
mais chaque fois que on essaie,
they pull the same trick.
Ils font la même chose.
So we've just learned to pretty much ignore.
Donc nous apprenons simplement à les ignorer.
And they're still doing the same thing. I saw Kip last year. There was a funeral of Terry Adame. Yeah, very, very close friends. Elena and Terry were friends many, many years. So Elena McKean, like, you know, at a funeral, you share about their life.
Voilà, à partager sur leur amitié.
And she gets up there.
Donc, elle va partager.
Yeah, the sold out disciples, blah, blah, blah.
Elle commence à parler des sold out disciples. Elle est des disciples vendus. Et Dieu, qui est le nouveau nom? Voilà, des membres de la nouvelle église. Wow.
Even at a funeral.
Même dans le funeral.
So that's the situation. I believe that they're helping people become Christians.
Je crois qu'ils aident les gens à devenir chrétiens.
But there's some of that unhealthy.
Mais il y a cet esprit, cette atmosphère malsaine.
Overly controlling.
Voilà. Contrôle les membres.
Discipling. So that's the situation. I'm sorry to report. All right. We have two more questions. Three more questions. Why did he do what?
Removed. Yeah.
Yeah, 2001 is when he was told that he's no longer, I don't know. Yeah, 2001.
C'est en 2001?
Like late 2001, I think. Yeah. Still employed as a minister in Los Angeles, but not the world evangelist. And he stayed there for maybe a year or two, I can't remember. Some of the reasons were both of his children had left the church and were no longer Christians. For years and years and years, Kip taught, if your children leave the church, then you can't be a leader. And his children left the church.
Et ses enfants ont quitté l'église.
And he changed his mind.
Et il a changé la loi.
And that's not surprising. But that's one of the reasons who is asked to no longer lead the entire thing.
Ça, c'est une des raisons.
The elders in LA said,
les anciens à l'église de Los Angeles ont dit,
if both of your children are not faithful,
que si tes deux enfants ne sont plus dans la foi,
we advise you spend more emphasis on your children.
Les anciens ont dit que notre conseil, c'est que tu passes beaucoup plus de temps avec ta famille.
That was one of the reasons that decision was made.
Ça, c'est une des raisons pourquoi il était plus diligent comme ça.
Okay. I don't like sharing these things.
Je n'aime pas trop partager ce genre de choses.
Yeah. Can we stop talking about Kit McKean, please? Can we move to something other than Kit McKean? All right. Something else other than Kit McKean, please.
For unity.
That's a great question. Jesus prayed for unity. Can we solve that problem? No, we can't solve that problem. But we can stop being divisive. That's why when you ask me to give the bad news about certain groups, I hesitate to do that. I don't like to cast judgment on other groups. Why would we do that? I'd rather preach the truth than to tell you why these other people are wrong. And in this teaching, I've tried to do that the best way I could. So let's just not be divisive. For people from the Church of Christ, that's hard to do. For example, in many churches of Christ, they would have a sermon series. Yes, series of sermons. Week number one. Why the Catholics are lost. Week number two. Why the Presbyterians are lost. Week number three. Why the Baptists are lost. That is not helpful. And we don't do that, right?
Right.
Another thing is we are cautious about making political statements. Because those are divisive. So we can't fix the problem. But when we talk to our Muslim friends, it's hard to defend the current state. But here's what I would explain about that. See, the Bible teaches that each individual Christian has dignity. And we have free will. And each Christian thinks for themselves. There is more unity within Islam. But that's because the individual Muslim does not have choice about such things. In fact, the individual Muslim doesn't read the Quran because they can't. They don't speak Arabic from the 7th century.
The Muslim ne lit pas l'arabe du 7th century.
And they're told they're not allowed to read translations.
Et on leur dit qu'ils ne sont pas autorisés à lire les traductions.
So they don't even read the Quran.
Donc, ils ne lisent pas le Quran.
So all they can do is listen to their imam.
Donc, tout ce qu'ils font, c'est écouter l'imam.
It's kind of like the Catholic Church 500 years ago.
C'est comme l'Église catholique il y a 500 ans.
So the unity, it's true.
Donc, l'unité.
Although, of course, you know, there's Sunni and Shia. And other sects. And I also will admit the amount of division within Christianity, it is embarrassing, honestly. But think about this. Christianity began in roughly
30 AD.
How many Christian groups were there in the year 1500 AD? There were Catholics, Orthodox, and Coptic. Alright, so Islam was founded in around 640 AD.
L'islam a été fondé vers l'an 640.
It's around 1,400 years later.
1,500 ans plus tard, donc maintenant.
So how many Muslim groups are there?
Combien de groupes musulmans y en a?
About three.
À peu près trois.
So the situation 1,500 years after it was started.
Donc la situation 1,500 ans après le début.
It's about the same.
À peu près la même chose.
And maybe if Muslims were allowed to actually read the Quran,
peut-être que si on permettait aux musulmans de lire le Coran,
and given freedom to understand it the way they chose to understand it,
et qu'on leur donne la liberté de comprendre le Coran comme ils le veulent,
maybe the same thing would happen. I don't know.
Peut-être que la même chose se passerait. Je sais pas.
In what Christian group? For example, in the Pentecostal Christianity,
par exemple, chez les Pentecôtistes,
women preachers were common early.
Les femmes ont commencé à prêcher très tôt.
In Catholic Christianity,
chez les Catholiques,
they're not allowed to preach at all.
Les femmes ne sont pas autorisées à prêcher.
So what group are you asking about?
So in general.
Every group is different, so I can't answer that question. Right.
When did that start?
Okay, I would say probably the earliest church group to have women preaching as a common practice was the Quakers.
Okay, donc on a commencé à voir les femmes, pasteurs, femmes prédicatrices,
The Quakers had a number of women preachers. That was in the 18th century. But that's kind of an anomaly. And another group that started having many women preachers is the Pentecostal movement. Beginning maybe in the 1920s or so. And then other groups that began to allow women preachers would be the Episcopalian church. I don't know, maybe the 1970s or so. I'm not sure what you're trying to get from that question. Right. It's okay. She can just say it to me. No. Okay. Yeah.
Where did that in history?
Okay.
Do
you mean?
Sorry.
Do you mean in our movement?
Not necessarily.
Well, then how can I answer that question? I mean, every group is different. There's 1,000 groups. How can I answer that question? That's impossible. So I could talk about in our movement, okay? In the churches of Christ in general. Until recent times, not only were women not allowed to preach, they weren't even allowed to be ushers. And certainly not to lead singing or... And the only way a woman would be hired by a church would be as a secretary. But from the very beginning of when Chuck Lucas began what we call what the campus movement, those churches began hiring women to do women's ministry. Our movement, if you count Chuck Lucas as the beginning of our movement, we've always hired women. But there have been a few churches in our movement who outlawed that. I believe London did for quite a while. Because we have diversity in what we practice. So the question is, can a church pay a sister to help evangelize? Can you think of a scripture that says you can't?
You can't?
Oh, I forgot to say something about the hermeneutics. Remember, the Church of Christ said, where the Bible speaks, we speak. Where the Bible is silent, we're silent. Kip said, where the Bible speaks, we're silent.
Que là où l'Église, là où la Bible parle, nous sommes silencieux.
And where the Bible is silent, we speak.
Et là où la Bible ne dit rien, nous venons nous parler.
So the Church of Christ says,
dans l'Église, il dit,
where the Bible speaks, we speak.
Et là où la Bible parle, nous parlons.
And Kip said,
et Kip dit,
where the Bible speaks, we're silent.
Et que là où la Bible parle, nous nous taisons.
They meant exactly the same thing.
En réalité, ces deux phrases disent exactement la même chose.
It sounds strange, but they meant exactly the same thing.
Voilà, c'est étrange, mais c'est la même chose qu'il dit.
In other words, if the Bible says it, that decides it.
Ça veut dire que si la Bible dit, c'est clair, c'est déjà dit.
And the Church of Christ says,
l'Église de Christ dit,
where the Bible is silent,
là où la Bible est silencieuse,
we're silent.
Nous sommes silencieux.
And Kip said,
Kip dit,
where the Bible is silent,
là où la Bible est silencieuse,
we speak.
Nous parlons.
In other words, what Kip said, unless the Bible says we can't do it, then we can do it. By the way, I don't agree with either of those two. Where the Bible is silent, it offers principles.
Là où la Bible est silencieuse, la Bible offre des principes.
To allow us to choose what would be the best approach.
Qui nous permet de suivre, de choisir quelle est la meilleure approche.
So just because the Bible doesn't say,
simplement parce que la Bible n'a pas dit clairement,
we can't do it,
que nous ne pouvons pas faire,
doesn't mean that we can.
Ça ne veut pas dire que nous pouvons le faire.
So Kip has justified some practices,
donc Kip a justifié quelques pratiques,
which I believe are against biblical principles.
Que, à mon avis, c'est contre des principes bibliques.
But Kip would say,
mais Kip répondrait,
the Bible doesn't say you can't hire women.
Que la Bible n'a pas dit que tu ne peux pas embaucher des femmes.
So therefore you can.
Donc, tu peux.
I say,
moi je dis,
the Bible doesn't say you can hire women.
Que, moi je dirais, que la Bible ne dit pas que tu peux embaucher des femmes.
So let's look at biblical principles.
Donc, regardons s'il y a des principes bibliques.
To say, is there any principle that says we should not?
Pour voir s'il y a des principes qui nous empêchent de le faire.
I can't think of any biblical principle.
Et sur cette pensée, quand je regarde, je ne peux pas identifier un principe qui nous empêche d'embaucher des femmes.
Paul said,
Paul dit,
don't muzzle the ox. And if you have women that are devoting their full time to serving the church, then I think you should pay them. So we have paid women staff. I'm very comfortable with that. In fact, I'm uncomfortable.
Mais je suis pas à l'aise.
Where the idea you have a church
que on a une église,
where the woman who's working full time for the church but she's not paid,
ne soit pas paid.
Because of some Church of Christ hermeneutic.
À cause de certaines traditions des églises.
So, yeah, I'm very comfortable with that. Why not? I say we definitely should. All right, so we should end.
Alors, nous avons deux choses. Et une, il y a une contrainte de temps. C'est-à-dire, nous voulons prendre une photo de groupe pendant qu'il y a le soleil.
All right, let me summarize. I forgot to summarize. Let's go back. Yeah. Where should we go from here?
Okay,
keep going. Forward. All right. Where should we go from here? No, back. Is that it? Where should we go from here?
Yeah.
All right, good. So, my proposal. We should move away from legalism
du
and works orientation.
Et des œuvres, ça doit être fixé sur les œuvres.
We should move away.
Nous devons nous éloigner.
From overly hierarchical structure.
D'une structure hiérarchique forte.
And we should stop. Well, I would turn the next one into a positive.
Non, je vais positiver.
Alright. And we should stop excluding elders and teachers.
Nous devons arrêter d'exclure les anciens et les enseignants.
We should include teachers and elders and women.
Nous devons inclure les anciens, les enseignants et les femmes.
We should have a team approach.
Avoir une approche, c'est-à-dire une direction à l'équipe.
With elders.
Avec des anciens.
Evangelists, teachers, and the women's voice needs to be heard.
Et la voix des femmes doit être entendue.
At every level of decision,
à tous les niveaux de décision,
the women's voice should be heard.
Et la voix des femmes doit être prise en compte.
Things we should continue doing.
Les choses que nous devons continuer à faire.
Vision for world evangelism.
Avoir une vision pour l'évangélisation du monde.
Strong relationships between churches.
Des relations fortes entre les églises.
That's why I'm here.
C'est pour cela que je suis ici.
Family atmosphere in our churches.
L'atmosphère de famille dans nos églises.
And discipling relationships.
Et des relations de formation.
And devotion to Christ.
Et être dévoué à Christ.
Our discipleship is to Christ.
Notre engagement.
All right. And then I would cover Pentecostal, but I don't think we have time.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, nous allons faire la photo. J'aimerais prendre 2 minutes pour parler des devoirs d'amitié. Non, pardon.
Okay. Whew. Are we all set here?
Yes, we're fine.
Okay, great.
You have.
Great. Want me to sign that?
Yeah.
Sure.
Il y aura.
And the date.
Pour le compte des MTA, comme d'habitude, comme l'année dernière, 3 shows.
Ah.
La première, et on vous enverra ceci, c'est pas la peine de prendre l'autre. C'est un papier de réflexion de 3 pages sur un thème tiré de la lecture du livre Histoire de l'Église chrétienne de Jesse Lyman Urbulbus. Donc, le thème est tiré du livre ou de tout ce qui a été enseigné hier et aujourd'hui. Donc, à soumettre dans 3 mois, dans le 30, au plus tard le 31 mai 2023. Donc, le papier de réflexion, ça c'est numéro 1. Numéro 2, lecture. Il s'agit ici de dire simplement le pourcentage du livre. Si c'est la moitié du livre, c'est 101 pages. Si on a lu 58 pages, on dit simplement j'ai lu 50% du livre. Troisième, c'est un examen, un quiz, qui sera administré probablement un jour de staff. Et on trouvera un moyen de faire assister le quiz aux églises, aux dirigeants des églises de l'intérieur. Donc, probablement 50 questions sur tout ce qu'on a appris. Voilà, c'est des questions rapides. Voilà. Pour avoir la note de cette année. Alors, je précise pour l'année dernière que beaucoup n'ont pas répondu sur les un peu plus de 40 personnes. Nous avons reçu 10 personnes, 10 soumissions. Voilà. Donc, les soumissions de l'année dernière, si vous les avez, envoyez-les. Et pour cette année aussi. Donc, ces 3 choses sont dues pour l'année de cette année du 31 mai. Voilà. Donc, merci beaucoup. Aussi, la liste de présence. à quel niveau? Si tu n'as pas rempli pour aujourd'hui, il y a deux colonnes. La colonne hier, la colonne pour aujourd'hui. Donc les deux colonnes, si tu étais là pour les deux jours, remplis les deux colonnes. Qui a la liste de présence? Ok, c'est là, merci. Donc, remplissez avant de partir. Ok. Alors, sans prêt, tu vas te prendre.